This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Listen to this voice. It's a classic, but it's no moldy oldie. This is how Wilson Pickett sounds today, the same as he sounded in the 60s when his hits Midnight Hour and Mustang Sally brought soul to America's radios, when he wrapped his rough tenor around the microphones of the infamous Stax Studios in Memphis and the Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Alabama is where Wilson Pickett was born 58 years ago. But he first used this voice to sing gospel. He then joined the group The Falcons, which led to his own contract with Atlantic Records and produced the songs that made him the prince of the dance floor. Wilson Pickett stopped recording 12 years ago. He preferred live performances. Until he met producer John Tiven and his wife, Sally. Their understanding of music and of the man known as Wicked Pickett convinced him it was time to get back into the studio and sing. The result is the new CD on the Bullseye Blues label called It's Harder Now. Today, Wilson Pickett lives in Virginia. He invited us out to his house, where he told us it was very scary for him to record again.
The scariest part was when I had to do the final vocals to this stuff. And I'm saying, you know, I put a pilot vocal on every night. As we go along in the studio, I'm doing pilot vocals. And most of all, this is how Tiven's, the musicians, was able to blend right in along with the flow of the situation, because I was there singing, like it's live. And each time I'd take it back to Virginia, I'd hear me on there, I said, shh, I know I can do better than that. That ain't the way I want that to go, you know what I mean? But each time it got a little better and a little better. I would change a little. I go back to John, I said, didn't I tell you you had too many lyrics in that? You got too many words. You're not writing a history book here, you know? He said, you know, you're right. You know, we take words and lyrics out and we boil it down to basics. I said, see, now that's Pickett.
Worked with some of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, the lyric in Soul Survivor where you say, hit the big time in Memphis.
But we came up in Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
We cut our teeth in Muscle Shoals. I mean, we started off in Memphis. We went big time. But we wound it up right there in Muscle Shoals.
Now, that was a business thing. I mean, when Stax decided that they weren't going to let anybody record down in Memphis that wasn't one of their artists, and you were with Atlantic, and so
That's
you
right.
had to go to Muscle Shoals.
Yeah. They wanted it all, and they had all the musicians sewed up, but they didn't have those horn players sewed up. which was the Keita thing, a Bowleg Miller and the Memphis Horns, with the same horns that would come from Memphis to Muscle Shoals. And then we would get pickers from everywhere, all New York. Everywhere we had pickers from all over. But the key to the Memphis sound was the horns. And man, you heard a Memphis horn, you heard a horn.
One of your biggest hits, and one that you still do, Midnight Hour. How did that song come about for you?
No, I was in Detroit, dude.
Yeah.
And I was living on Chicago Boulevard in Dexter. And I had a little bit apartment with a little bed pulled down. And they had a little kitchenette, they call them. And I had a girlfriend named Dovey, which I ended up with for 14 years. And I wrote Wait Till the Midnight Hour, 6345789. I wrote 99 and a half. And I wrote If You Need Me, Call Me. I wrote all those songs right there in that apartment. And it's a big song. I mean, it's incredible how big that song is today. Every day, Mustang Sally, or either Midnight Hour or Mustang Sally, in the oldies and all that stuff, you know?
What do you hear when you hear it?
Well, if you listen to it, just come out now and be played with all the different kind of music that surrounds you now. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It sounds fresh, like a brand new song. You know, you sit back and say, hey, that was good. Because they got a lot of junk out here, man. You cannot understand this stuff. And I don't like to call names, but you got great artists like Whitney Houston. Right now, I still don't know what style she has. I just don't know what style she has. She's overcrowded with the music. The producers are doing too much. Where is Whitney? Who is Whitney? And I'm an artist, and I see that.
And you didn't want yourself to get...
No.
Bogged up in the, this new CD, for example, there's no overdubbing, there's no click
no
track,
way.
No sample.
Way. No way.
It's all musicians in a studio playing.
Well, it haven't sold yet, so I can't say that was the best way to go, but that's the only way I'm going to go. Eventually, hire a mixer and turn it over, put your trust in him, and give him your best guidance, but it's up to him to mix the thing. He can lose your whole CD in the mix.
This CD really is pure soul. It recaptures in a contemporary way. It's not nostalgic. It doesn't, you know, go back to what we were hearing in the mid-60s. It's
exactly
2000 music. But do you think it is because you didn't rely on the technology? You were going back to the way that things were done.
I think it was the fact that I did not go back south and cut it to Muscle Shoals or to Memphis with any of those hard-hitting musicians, which I would have came out with the same old. My idea was to keep it picket, but look for a kind of softer way out to do it, a little bit more of what might be being done today. Then I can grab another audience. And maybe I can save the whole thing by doing this. But I don't want to do the yesterday stuff again anyway.
It's been done.
It's been done. Got all I could out that. Yeah!
Make sure you get a good grip. Cause Sister Stone paid the world and everything is upside. It's hard, baby. Yes, baby, it's hard. It'll make your hair curl in this crazy world.
Someone once described your voice as hard-edge vocals, trademark white-hot scream, cut through choppy rhythms like a saw. I don't know who did that.
How late do they stay up at night?
I don't know. Probably reading too much. But your voice is extraordinary.
Yeah, but how do one describe my voice?
I don't know. How do you describe your voice?
I don't know. I just got a rough voice. I'm not a smooth singer. I'm a cornbread singer. You know? Now, I call a cornbread singer is with that rough voice that comes from the stomach, not from the throat. From the stomach. I sang from down here. If I sung from here with the way I sang, I would have done blew my voice a long time ago. Now, I'll tell you one thing. It's a miracle Jane Brown got any voice left right now. Because she was doing it the hard way, was doing it from here. You see? So when you got, when it leave here, you got nowhere else to go. You see?
So you keep it down in the diaphragm so you'll have it.
Yeah.
You save it. You still singing in the same key?
Same keys.
Huh. Yeah,
same keys.
Remarkable.
And I'm not saying it's easy, you know. The only song I don't sing in the same key is the one that I wrote and with the Falcons, and I was about 18 years old, almost 18, and that was I Found a Love. That was the highest song that I ever sung in my life. So I was blessed with a hell of a voice, you know.
People know you for your dance tunes, Prince of the Dance Floor, but you really can wrap yourself around a ballad like
yeah.
Nobody's
I'd like
business.
To sing ballads.
Yeah.
As scared as I were to do Hey Jude, I think we did a hell of a job on it. But you can thank Duane Allman for that because Duane Allman kept me in that studio. We didn't go to lunch. All the rest of the musicians went out. We needed one more song. He said, sit down and listen to this, you know? And he come in with the Hey Dust. Oh, no, I can't do no. I can't do no Beatles song. Now, you're not going to make an ass out of me, you know? I said, man, you want me to be ruined? Everything I think I'm going to be ruined, you know? He said, no, you can do this, man. You can kill this. He said, now listen, sing. Hey, turn me with his guitar. I heard his guitar. I said, we'll give it a shot. So I didn't even know the lyrics. And it, so we sit there and he wrote the lyrics down and everything. And I think we got it in about, I think the second cut, Warrior, we did about three cuts. And we had the damn thing. And man, was that a record.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her in your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
Do you approach a ballad differently from the way that you would approach a song that's meant to get yourself moving?
You approach a ballad for what it is. If this ballad called for some trickery type voice and all this kind of stuff, or some sweetness here or some sweetness there, then you try to do that. But if it calls for your feelings or what you feel when you're singing it, then you give it that. And most of the time, that's what sells. That's what the people buy.
You got to tell people how you got the name Wicked.
Noreen Woods out of Atlantic Records. At that time, we had cut an album, didn't have a title for it. And Jerry Wexler was night and day trying to think of what we're going to name this album. And me, I loved the album so much, I was over at the studio early that morning at the office. Over the Atlantic Records and the secretaries. They used to wear these miniskirts. On a clear day, you can see all the way to San Francisco, you know. So I walked up and I pinched her. Noreen Woods saw it from her office. She said, man, you sure are wicked, you know? Jerry Wexler ran out the office. That's it, baby. That's the next title, The Wicked Picket.
Title tune. It's harder now. You write about yourself. How have you changed?
I'm more comfortable. My fuse is not that short anymore. People find out that they can push a button. They'll do it all the time. You know, they just follow you around, just messing with you, you know? Because they know that you're going to strike back at them, and then what you're going to do? You're going to lose a career behind these nuts, and you got people still will try you. Well, let me see, you know? But it gets nowhere. So I moved in the country, out of the business cities, out of the epitome of ignorance among people, robbing, stealing, killing, all that kind of stuff. People knocking on your doors all times of night and all that. Nobody does that out here. That's an easy type of life.
Mr. Pickett, thank you for inviting us to your home.
Okay. I thank y'all too, and I'm sure that I'll see you out there somewhere.
You thought that you could break the rules. Maybe you should go back to school. But you're no genius, and I'm no fool. And it's harder now. Yes, it's harder now. So much harder now. Yes, it's harder now.
Wilson Pickett's new CD called It's Harder Now is on the Bullseye Blues label. He'll be playing DAR Constitution Hall here in Washington this Saturday night. Our feature was produced by Carlene Windahl and recorded by Patrick Murray, who are part of the team that puts together NPR's Weekend Edition, which is produced by Robert Maleski, edited by Mark Schramm, and directed by Catherine Maddox, with production help from Ned Wharton, Andy Lyman, Marcus Rosenbaum, and Leah Friedman. Our engineering team includes Joseph Mills, Renee Pringle, Sean Fox, Dennis Nielsen, Ian Honeyman, and Drew Reynolds. Our reference librarian is Key Maleski. Barbara Ream is the assistant managing editor. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.